Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Michelin Pilot Challenge
on IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, race fans all around the world and here at Sebring International Raceway. Getting started bright and early here with 40 cars from the Michelin Pilot Challenge getting ready to take to the 3.74 miles of Sebring International Raceway. And everybody's got that excited vibe because these guys have already been on track yesterday. But that doesn't mean that you don't get the little sparkles in your stomach going out when the sun is rising over turn one. And there is a very long queue that's already lined up at the pit exit because after yesterday's practice, people had an opportunity to make some changes and some tweaks to their cars. But who are the cars that we need to be paying attention to? Well, the fastest car in yesterday's session was the number 28 RS1 Porsche. Trent Hinman laying down a flyer on a sticker set of tires at the beginning of the session. But Stephen McAleer backed that up with pretty good pace as the session went on. In TCR, well, it was the 89 Hart Honda that went very, very well. That is a car that is a bit of a black horse because they don't normally do the full season to the championship. So if they can come in, steal a win, that's going to be stealing some valuable points as well. So what are we going to see for this session? Probably lots of long runs, but lots of driver change practice as well, because there are teams here that didn't run at Daytona, and that's going to be something for both me and my cohort to pay attention to this weekend. So welcome to the pit lane at Sebring, Mr. Nick Damon.
Thank you, Shane. I too have sparkles, but you know, let's not talk about that right now. Yes, finally, after what, 17 years of endurance racing, I've made it to the 12-hour meeting. It's an absolute dream come true. I have been to Sebring before. That was for Coventic meeting, but that was significantly different in the fact there's five times more RVs here than there were cars that time. It's an amazing event. The weather's fantastic, and we have 40 cars sitting on the apron waiting to go. They've built me a stage, John, just below the tower where you are. They built a stage. I think it's probably for the driver introductions, but it's a marvellous place to stand and imagine you are the centre of attention, which, of course, I never am, John.
No, it's all about you, Nick. It is all about you, love. Welcome to the 72nd running of the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring to Nick Damon and to all of you at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch. As always, just off to my right, geographically, not politically, as I always say, is Jeremy Shaw, who joins me this morning in the Global Broadcast Centre. Man, oh man, Jeremy, on Tuesday when I got here, Tuesday lunchtime, it was busy. This looks like race day already.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, absolutely crazy in a great way. The atmosphere at Sebring is always fantastic, but this year it's gone up a notch. WC or not, you know, it's a race event, and IMSA now is huge. I mean, I was at St. Petersburg last weekend, and I can't tell the number of people that came up to me in the paddock. Kind of bumped into just saying how excited they were to come down here to Sebring this weekend. I met there were various new race fans there. Met a couple of guys yesterday who came over from the UK, their first trip here. They've been to Daytona before, but their first trip here, and they were hanging out there at Road Shagger Racing in the Michelin Pilot Challenge paddock, chattering to Gavin Ernstone and having a really good time. They've been super impressed with what they've seen so far, and I said, stick around because you're going to be a lot more impressed as this weekend goes along.
Hello to Jerry Z, who has just woken up and is already for... Well, what a great way, what a great alarm clock. 40 cars in Michelin Pilot Challenge. And I know Blur Fiend is here as well. Plenty of the collective are here, the Radio Show Limited collective. And thank you for your kind words. Tim worked really hard last night to make sure that we got Midweek Motorsport, the archive, up early so that those of you who were travelling yesterday could listen when they either got here or first thing this morning. Hello to Johnny Knotts, who's down on the pit lane surveying his domain at the moment, and indeed to all of our hard-working volunteers, whether they're on post, around the circuit, track services, our AMR safety and medical crews, And, of course, all the volunteers, even those people who are checking your passes and parking, helping you park your cars. We cannot go motor racing without them. We thank them all for their most precious gift, the gift of their time. So thank you very much indeed for all of that. We kick off this morning with this one-hour session. And continuing on from yesterday, Jeremy, where the times were very fast, very early, we would have had a new qualifying record had it been qualifying within the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. Lap four yesterday, Trent Hindman laid down that lap that we just heard about. 2 minutes 10.296. The qualifying lap record is, because 2 minutes 10.521, set by Owen Trinkler, who's sadly not here this weekend. We really miss Owen. He's the most experienced driver in this paddock, 191 starts. So inching towards that 200 mark, but unfortunately not here this weekend. And we haven't heard the full story on that yet, but we will try and dig a little bit deeper. Sent him a message yesterday and he hasn't responded, so thank you, Owen. But that's the qualifying lap record. The fastest race lap actually is faster than Owen Trinkler's qualifying lap record, because last year during the race, Robbie Foley, in one of the turn motorsport BMW M4 GT4s, turned a lap of 2 minutes 10.378. So that is the fastest lap that has been turned around here in Michelin Pilot Challenge. And that's an average speed of 103.269. Let's go down to the pit lane. And another of the very experienced drivers is Spencer Pompelli, who's in the pit lane right now.
And yesterday when I came back to the booth after the Michelin Pilot Challenge session, John and Jeremy said to me, Spencer Pompelli went very fast, but not for very long. Spencer, what happened yesterday to the BGB Porsche?
Well, first off, you know, these BGB guys are awesome. They've done a great job this season, and we're really well prepared, and everybody's doing such a good job here. I'm really excited about this season. But that was a brand new chassis. That car had never seen the racetrack till yesterday. We actually wanted to test it a couple times, and scheduling just didn't work out. So, and then wasn't quite 100% kind of came that way as we got it. So that's why we put out on the racetrack to see what happens. And we were purple sector one on that lap, and then we were off the track in sector two. But I'm still excited, and the car looks great. You can't miss it. I think if you turn off the lights for some reason, we could run that thing through a night race and not even worry about it without headlights. Watch out. We'll be coming. And you won't miss us.
So what was the problem, and did you fix it? Is it good to go now?
We spit out a camber shim, which makes the thing in the back, it makes it hard to steer. It makes it a little wobbly. But, yeah, simple fix. We just, when you get a brand new car, you're going to find little things you got to address. And the car was really good up to that point. So, again, thanks to all the guys at BGB.
You've won here before in ST, and we're talking about GS. We're talking about the overall win now. But you know what it's like to drive iconic liveries around here as well. What's it like to be in a car that's reminiscent of the hippie Porsche?
Oh, so I think you're thinking about Tom's GT3 car. Yeah, I haven't driven that yet, but I'm excited about that. That car really looks good. Only thing is I wish they'd let him go to the old school numbers on the side, but, you know, he's got to run the series approved numbers. But still a really cool car, and if you look close, it's all in the BGB colors, so the the purple has that same kind of purple fade to black look that we get when we kind of put it in the sunlight. It's purple, out of the sunlight it's black, and just really, really cool looking liveries over here at BGB now. Again, these guys have been awesome, so I appreciate everything.
Working with him as he's going into the Carrera Cup North America, how much have you seen that help him and his driving when he comes back here to the GT4 car?
It's helped a lot, and he was actually racing last weekend at the St. Pete race as well in GSX, so he's been driving as much as he can, and that's really been good for him. You know, a lot of these guys don't have an opportunity to drive for months at a time, and then they'll try to jump back in, whereas the pro guys like me and some of the other guys on the grid, we're coaching every weekend, we're racing every weekend, so we don't have that time off. But he's been doing a really good job, and he's got a busy day today. We were kind of looking at his schedule today, and I said, you got a busy one today. You get ready? He's like, oh, yeah, just mostly the cup car. I'm like, yeah, don't forget, we got to qualify the GS car today, too. He's like, oh, gosh, we do, yeah. So we found a bunch of things, you know, that he's got to be up and ready for. And jumping back and forth between two cars, it's not always easy. So he's got a long day, but he's up for it. He's been practicing for it.
Well, the secret they have down here, they've got mint iced coffee from Wawa. So I think, John, I think BGB will be okay.
They have. Why haven't we? That's the big question. Thank you, Shay. Part of our BDO pit lane for Michelin Pilot Challenge for the rest of this season. Nick Damon down in the pit lane as well. A little bit more wind this morning. It's blowing straight onto the front of the cars as they go down to turn number one. And it is perfect. It is absolutely perfect. Actually, I've just lost my screen.
Just a hint of a breeze. It certainly isn't blowing hard, as it often does here at Sebring. But the wind direction here is always interesting and can be very upsetting for the teams. I mean, often here it'll kind of switch directions. And as you say right now, John, it's what there is of a breeze is a headwind going into turn one, therefore a tailwind heading down towards Sunset Bend. Turn 17. Sometimes it's the other way around. That really does affect that both the handling of the car and the straight line speeds as well. So it's certainly something that the teams will keep an eye on.
Let's head back to our BDO pit lane team, and here's Nick Damon with a team that have been successful already this season, Nick.
Yeah, with Michael McCarthy from the Kelly Moss in 91, the Porsche. Michael, it's a, you won a four-hour race on an oval with an infield, and now you've come to the bumpiest circuit in the world. Is there any synergy between the two tracks you can take?
Well, we're going to try this weekend, though we're feeling pretty strong after Daytona. Looking forward to running here with the Kelly Moss and the Riley crew. My teammate Riley's out there right now, putting down some quick laps, so I'm looking forward to getting in soon.
Give us an idea of what the program is for this second hour, because you had an hour yesterday. I mean, how good is the car rolling off the truck, and how much mucking about are you doing with it over these couple of hours?
Well, the car's still new to us, but we're making some good progress, and we should be looking pretty strong for this weekend.
Two-hour race, it's a different set of strategies. I mean, what is the idea to try and minimize one driver's time, or do an hour each?
It'll come down to the yellow flags. We'll have to play it on by year and see how it works.
And obviously you are in the GS class. I mean, have you managed to get a feel on how the Porsche compares to the other chassis here?
Every chassis has its own strong suit, but I'm having a lot of fun driving with all these different cars compared to the single make series I'm used to. It allows for better racing, in my opinion.
I mean, how quickly do you get an idea of where you're strong and where they're strong? Is that a couple of laps, or is that you need to build up the bank over the course of a season or two?
Usually you can figure out pretty quickly within a lap as you're coming up on another driving, see where you're a little quicker, where they're a little quicker, and you can kind of plan how you want to try to go for an overtake based off of that.
All right, thanks so much. Good luck.
Thank you.
And we have a red flag on the session, and that is because the number 55 car has stopped out on the circuit. That's the Audi RS3 of Eduardo Gu.
Yeah, the question is it senior or junior?
Yes, because there are two of them,
yeah,
aren't there?
Yeah, Dad is better known as Lalo, Eduardo is junior. No, not quite sure which one it is, because the timing of scoring, I think, hasn't got onto a Lalo Gu yet. It's just, or Go, I should say.
Go, sorry, it's just, my apologies.
Just Eduardo. But the cars ground to halt very early on in this session. Just two laps completed by most of the car, two or three laps completed during this one-hour session. It's Rory van der Steur, who is at the top of the charts at the moment in the van der Steur Racing car number 19, Aston Martin Vantage GT4. Second fastest is Mark Miller for Thays Competition in car number 78. That's Mercedes. Another Aston in third place, car number 46, Matt Plum for Team TGM. Then rounding out the top five are Sean McAllister in the car barn with the Peregrine Racing BMW M4 GT4. That's car number 39. And in fifth position, car number 64, the second of the Team TGM Aston Martins. That's Hugh Plum, older brother of Matt, driving that car at the moment.
We believe, Jeremy, by the way, it is the elder that is in the car at the moment, because Nick's just spotted.
Oh, no, they're both in the cars, because they used to share, but they don't any longer. They've been split up for this year. So it's Matt driving number 46 car right now, and Hugh, the older brother.
Sorry, I was talking about the car that stopped.
Oh, sorry, right. Yeah. Thank you.
The elder of the Eduardos, Lalo. Ah. We think it is Lalo in the car.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, my.
Yeah, I mean, that car showed really, really well at Daytona. They had a one-off race last season in that number 55 Audi RS3 LMS TCR, and gave a good impression of, you know, good account of themselves. They finished ninth in that one-off race last year, and then planning a full season this year. Two guys that they've, you know, that father and son. They've done a lot of racing in primarily in Mexico, they ran really strongly at Daytona. They had some problems which took them out of the race fairly early, but a good strong run for them, and be looking for the same here at Sebring.
It's RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Hello and welcome along. We've had a stoppage fairly early on to our session, under just about 10 minutes that we've had going here for the Michelin Pilot Challenge for the Alan J Automotive Network 120, which we'll have live for you on Friday around the world on RS2 and here at Sebring International Raceway on 100.9 FM, as well as on our very effective public address system. If you want to get in touch with us, whether you're here at the track or further afield, please say hello at IMSA Radio. Hello to Tom Marshallack, who is tuned in from work, he's telling me. Wish I was at Sebring. Thanks for bringing all the action to those of us who can't be there. So, thank you for all your hard work, and thank you for your support, Tom. One of our regulars at IMSA Radio. Hello to Paul Dunk and to Brody. Good to have your company back in the UK. Quick reminder as well for those of you who are not here at the track, that the clocks have gone forward onto daylight saving time here in the US. So right now it is pretty much spot on a 8:15 in the morning. So do that little bit of arithmetic yourself for now, because the rest of the world not changing their clocks for another week or so, actually. So we are going to be a little bit closer in time to the UK. Just 4 hours of a difference between the UK still on Greenwich Mean Time and Europe on Central European Time. That's only 5 hours at the moment. So make sure you don't wake up late on Saturday and miss the first hour of the race. The race has been pulled forward a wee bit as well for WeatherTech. All of the details are on radiolemon.com. Scroll to the bottom and live schedules are there, included on that, the ones that has some video for you.
Yeah, it didn't used to start at 10, didn't it?
Half past 10, 20 to 11. 10:40, we've started here in the past. I can remember starting closer to 11 as well. I do remember that fateful year that we had the combined WEC race in the first year of the WEC. So when was that, 12? Sorry, I've said that there. I've just sent Shea back into therapy again. She was working on TV graphics. Poor Greg Kramer was still doing the podium celebrations into the next day.
Yes.
So it was after midnight.
Well after midnight.
Yeah, after midnight. True. I was leaving. I remember ringing Eve from the car park. I jumped on the shuttle and was heading up to get a very early flight from Orlando to link through Chicago and get back home on the Sunday. And there was Greg still announcing, so the podium celebrations went into a second day. Let's not do that again, ever.
9:40 start then on Saturday.
9:40 green flag. Our Michelin countdown to green for the big race starts at 9 o'clock. No warm-up on Saturday either, so that's that's interesting. So anyone who has problems in the qualifying or in the final sessions on Friday will not have had the chance to run their cars on Saturday morning in the WeatherTech race for the Sebring, the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring.
That's a good point, actually. I mean, tomorrow, which is Friday, I'm still confused on days. so tomorrow's Friday. The only time, actually, the WeatherTech cars are on track is for qualifying.
Yes, correct.
Which I hadn't sort of focused on until just now. And as you say, no warm. Generally, there is a warm-up. So they're going to have to do all their pre-race.
Correct, today.
Preparations.
And tonight.
So today, we've got another practice later on this afternoon at 3:05, which is another hour and a half session. And then practice three is at 7:45, the night practice tonight, for 90 minutes.
We bring Nick to Sebring, the absolute heart of American road and endurance racing and the original home of Formula One in the States, and he immediately finds an Alfa Romeo driver. Of course he does. He's with Tim Lewis down in the pits.
Well, I'd like to point out I've owned an Alfa Romeo. I haven't actually owned a Chevy or a Ford Mustang or a Hyundai Veloster either. Tim, yeah, the car is unique in the field. I think it's unique in the world as the only TCR Alfa Romeo. What is it like ploughing that lonely furrow against these very developed teams?
I think there's pros and cons to it. Certainly competing against the seven or eight Hyundais in the field, you know, just from a data collection standpoint, they can go in so many different setup directions and come to a method that works for them. For us, you know, we're the lone alpha, so we're kind of forced to do some more testing when we're not at an IMSA event, and I think we got our car in a pretty good window after running it for five seasons now, and you know, same team. I have a new co-driver this year. He's doing a great job, and that's it.
So after 5 years on the circus and the circuits, you know which tracks are coming up. Which circuits suit the Alfa in comparison to its rivals?
I honestly think that the field is really well balanced, and we're pretty good everywhere. I mean, the Audi's really good everywhere. The Hyundai's good everywhere. I mean, there's not really any circuit that I think is like our circuit to be at. With the four different makes, we all make our lap time a little bit differently, but at the end of the day, we kind of all make the same lap time. So it's really competitive. It's exciting. It's good racing, and that's why we're here.
Off the back of the two 4-hour races, this one in Daytona, back to the standard 2 hours. How much tactics can there be in a 2-hour race with two drivers and quite strictly mandated drive times?
I think for the TCR field, we're basically aiming to be a one-stop race, so a little bit of fuel save in the beginning to try and shorten your fuel fill, and then a lot of fuel save to the end depending on when our pit window is open. But for the most part, all the TCR cars try and do one stop. The GS cars are usually two stops.
So just to continue this, I mean, we lost a few minutes there. I mean, when you've had a car for 5 years, how much development do you need to do when you come to each track? Just take the settings from last year, roll it off the truck, and that's it?
No, I mean, we're always trying to find more. I'd say definitely running the same platform for many seasons. We do have a pretty thick notebook of what we want to do at each event. But we're always, I'd say we're generally within the same box, but we're always making little changes to try and suit track conditions or track temperature, or, you know, just the tracks can change. We could test 2 weeks before and it's completely different when we get here. So usually we try and find something that's workable and then massage it from there.
Tim, thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Good stuff there from Nick Damon, one of our BDO pit lane reporters here at the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring weekend. And we've got the Michelin Pilot Challenge for the Alan J Automotive Network 120. That's the feature race on Fast Friday. It's terrific Thursday today, a very long Thursday. I couldn't think of anything. Thunderous Thursday. Oh, that's better. We're going Thunderous Thursday. So it's Thursday Thunder at Sebring International Raceway, with all of the different series on the track for the first time, because we will see WeatherTech later on today. We're about a third of the way through this session. Valentin Asklo has just jumped in behind the wheel of the Van der Steur Racing Aston Martin Vantage. Very impressive driver for Aston Martin. Been doing a lot of driver coaching duty as well for the various teams that he's involved with. And came behind the mic with us at the WEC at Qatar as well. He was rather good at that as well, and rather annoyingly. Need to find out if he can tap dance whilst playing the penny whistle. I've got to find something he can't do well. He is in the car at the moment, so I expect to see that Van der Steur Racing Aston Martin going very nicely indeed. Already the best time for that car, 2:11.473. Just, I know, because I know you like to know this, as Robin Liddell goes to the top for Rebel Rock Racing in another Aston Martin. Hello, it must be Aston Martin Day today with Jesse Lazare up in second now. So it's British car day today, obviously.
Yeah, but that Robin Liddell, of course, that's the Evo Aston Martin. That's the only one in the field. Interestingly, it's the same balance of performance in terms of weight in the car and engine power as well than the older car. Slightly curious. One would have thought the new car was better. But anyhow, so Robin Liddell goes to the top. 211.327. That's fractionally slower than the best time he turned yesterday, which is good enough for sixth place on the charts.
Fabulous conditions at the moment. 19 Celsius in the air, 21 on the track. That's 70 Fahrenheit on the track and 66 in the air. Beautiful conditions. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Hello to Sarah Rigby, tuned in from Crewe. And in at work at the moment. Oh, yes, of course, because it's almost happens midday. Very happy, I'm sure, that Valentin Azclaw and the rest of the Astons are going well. Three Astons in the top four. And in fact now, four Astons in the top six with Aaron Tielitz. Aaron Tielitz for Archangel Motorsport now the quickest with a 10.9, 2 minutes 10.9. From Robin Liddell in a 2 minutes 11.3. Jesse Lazare is the interloper there in terms of the first non-Aston, the McLaren, which was quick yesterday and successful in its last outing with Jesse behind the wheel in IMSA competition, because that was last weekend on the streets of St. Pete's in the VP Racing Sports Car Challenge. That's third. Then Valentin Azclaw hasn't improved that 211.4 from earlier. Then Josh Green for Thays Competition in the Mercedes. Good time from Josh. And then Matt Travis for Nola Sport, making up the top six now for Porsche. So as Robin Liddell goes through in front of me again, and Jesse Lazare goes to the top now. So we're seeing people get a little bit quicker, Jeremy. What was the best time we saw yesterday? We saw 10s yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, 2 minutes 10.296 was the fastest yesterday. He was significantly quicker, well, 3/10 quicker than the McLaren of Michael De Quesada. So it's his teammate, Jesse Lazare, driving that car now. It's to the 210.836 this morning. Yesterday's best for Michael was a 210.6. So already just a couple of tenths away from that time that was set yesterday. Conditions this morning are pretty good. A little bit cooler probably than yesterday, but there was cloud cover most of the day yesterday. Some
yes,
cloud
was.
Cover at least.
Yeah, just a little bit of
that. Hardly any now. Just
yeah, it's going to be hot today. I think it's going to be very hot today. Shay, Adam, this is the time that people are using to just check everything out, as Aaron Tielitz has done the first 2 minutes 9. That is the fastest lap of the week for Archangel's Aston Martin. What are we seeing in the pit lane at the moment?
Some very strange occurrences, actually. The RS1 Porsche that was quickest yesterday just came in. Stephen McAleer, right rear tire pressure adjustment only was the only thing they did, and then sent the car back out. It's now on the track once again. But I have actually found the guy who is leading the points in WeatherTech GTV and second in points in GS, Daniel Morad, Windward Mercedes. That translates across the whole way. But what's it feel like to be back at Sebring in your GS car once again and know that you and Bryce are going for victory?
Well, first of all I have to say is stop the count for WeatherTech. We can end it there. Unfortunately, my only time in the car is going to be Daytona, but it went not too bad.
Yeah, what time is it, by the way?
I'm actually wearing it's a weird flex, but I'm wearing my first Rolex Daytona winning watch right now. And I have my crew dancing in the background, so I wish you guys could see that. Their dancing skills are subpar, but it's okay. GT4, it's my focus right now for the rest of the season with Bryce. I mean, the goal is to win Bryce a championship. Last year, we got him his first race win of his career, and this year, it's all about championship. We're, let's say, a little bit on the back foot with performance. It's going to be very tough for us. Daytona was already a struggle in GT4, and somehow we pulled a result out of our... somewhere, fill in the blank. It was really unexpected. I thought that if we had a top 10 in Daytona and GT4, it'd be a result, but we finished on the podium. Very surprising, considering our straight line speed performance, and nothing's really changed, so it's going to be tough, but it's, like I said, we're here for the points. We have to get the points, whatever it is. We have to finish, and I know the Windward guys are going to give us a great Mercedes.
Now, you ran with the team last year. As you mentioned, you got Bryce's first win. You backed that up with the second. You actually crossed the line three times, the first car across the line. That was a great accomplishment. But when your points racing, when you come into a weekend and you know you're taking what's on offer, how much more difficult does that make your job?
I mean, it's not any more difficult. Like, every time I come into a race, I always try to extract the most I can and make no mistakes. That's what it's all about. And if you have a car that can win the race, you take advantage of that. If you have a car that's a fifth-place car, you try to at least finish fifth or better. And it's not about the actual result. I don't ever think about where am I going to finish. I think the big thing is, and what I've learned from a lot of training, mental training, and just being in this for so long, is you can only get... You know, you can only get the maximum performance of yourself and your team around you. There's so many factors outside of your control. Right now, we're sort of dealing with that. But I know, like, we're firing all cylinders, considering, you know, how Daytona went and just the end of last year. Bryce has really dialed in. We've been working so hard on the sim, trying to get him really comfortable in racing situations. And, yeah, the guys are so distracting. I wish you guys could see this. I mean, I can't even describe it on the radio. But, yeah, everyone's dancing in the background. It's great.
It's a good atmosphere down here at Windward.
It's a family at the end of the day. Everyone's so close here, and that's such a it's such a good environment. But Bryce, I mean, he's put in so much work on the sim. We're working so hard with the Moradness M Squad, my sim racing team. And we've been, like, Bryce, no joke, he's probably done 30 hours on the sim so far at Sebring. And we've just tried to simulate situations where he's under pressure, where he's attacking, race starts, restarts. And, I mean, it's just, it's incredible how confident he's become. And he knows what job he needs to do on the track to get it done for the championship.
You mentioned not doing the GTD program, but you do have a bigger Windward program expanding over to Europe, too. You were just over there testing. How excited for you are that?
I mean, it's a lot changed after Daytona. I think that last stint was... the best thing that could have happened, you know, just to showcase what we could do as a team and also for myself personally. It was an amazing opportunity. I'm really thankful they gave me the chance to bring it home, and I think a lot of people saw what it meant. You know, my career has been up and down, not because of performance, just because of the business, I think, in general. And it's a tough sport. And I've had to fight and hustle my way with, you know, no financial back to where I am right now. And I have an amazing as a factory driver, and with Windward, just the organization's giving me a lifeline, along with Allegra Motorsports in the back, and you know, in the past, just, you know, really thankful for everything. And I mean, it meant a lot. And now doing the European program is cool. It's something I've really wanted to do, and I've been pushing. I was on the phone every day after Daytona, trust me, really hustling. And I think, you know, gave them the confidence to see that I could handle that pressure. And, yeah, driving with Mauro Engel and Lucas Auer is going to be really, really cool. Those guys are awesome, and I've already had the first 4 days in the car with them over in Europe. And, yeah, I just don't know where I am right now because, I mean, I've been in different time zones, and I'm actually going to be traveling. There's more programs being announced shortly. So, yeah, I'm going to be making trips around the world soon.
Proof that good things happen to good people. Good luck this weekend, Daniel.
Thank you.
Shit, Adam, BD or pit lane reporter, or at least one of two of them. Nick Damon's down there as well. Quite a few improvements, Jeremy, coming through in the last few moments, including in the GS and the, actually in both of the GS and the TCRs.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of cars now well underneath the old lap record. We talked about Aaron Tielitz going fastest in the Archangel Motorsports Aston Martin car number 88. Well, he's now been eclipsed by almost 0.2 seconds by Stephen McAleer in that RS1 Porsche Cayman car number 28. To its 9.786 for McAleer. And I saw Justin Benzoni yesterday, the team principal at RS1, and he's just so bullish about this season. I mean, his team has won this championship in the past in a couple of different classes, and he's so pumped up with this driver lineup he has right now, Stephen McAleer and Trent Hindman, both champions in various different series. And you know, the car is strong. They had a good strong run at Daytona to begin the season at the 4RS. It didn't kind of work out their way in the end. It ended up being a fuel mileage race, And they were trying. They were saving fuel, but came away with a top seven finish, seventh place finish at Daytona in the 4 hours. And he was kind of happy with that. He knows that in this championship, if you can finish regularly in the top five, consistently in the top five, then you've got a really good chance at the championship. So seventh place isn't quite top five, but it's close enough. It's only a 20-point difference. With the scoring system that is in place right now, we get 350 points for a win. But he knows he's got the drivers that can deliver that championship to him. It's a Florida-based team. They're based up in the Orlando area. Trent Hindman was fastest yesterday, and Steve McAleer now with just under half an hour remaining in this session at the top of the charts. Isn't that Porsche? A 2:09. Third position. McAleer Ford Mustang GT4. Jensen Altman driving that car. 2:10.371 for car number 13. And then the Aston Martin of car number 46, Matt Plum, for team TGM, 2:10.4. So the top three cars, a Porsche, an Aston Martin, and a Ford. There's a McLaren in fifth position right now. That's Jesse Lazzaro, 2:10.8. And then farther down, we've got a couple of BMWs just into the top 10. Clinton Cook in car number 92, that's the Random Vandals BMW. Right behind him is Sean McAllister in the car barn with Peregrine Racing, car number 39 in ninth position. Farther down the order in TCR, it is the Victor Gonzalez Racing Team Hyundai, car number 99, that is fastest, Tyler Gonzalez. The youngster at the controls of that car at the moment, a Florida-based driver, 2:14.157, which is slightly quicker than the best time that was turned yesterday in the first practice session in TCR. That was by the number 89 Art Honda. Second position today in TCR is car number 17, the JDC Miller Motorsports Audi. That's the car that leads the championship after winning at Daytona. Third position in TCR is Preston Brown, who's driving the car at the moment. It's number 76. Brian Herder Autosport with Kerb Agajanian Hyundai. The time was set early in this session by Denny Dupont, originally from Belgium but now lives in Canada. So in it's Hyundai, Audi, Hyundai, and then another string of Hyundais behind that in 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th position. Robbie Wickens, birthday yesterday, the defending series champion in TCR, car number 33, fourth fastest right now. And then right behind him is the time set by Andy Lally. That's the new Starcom TCR Audi. Andy Lally and Nick Tucker. Nick Tucker, this will be his first ever road race for Nick this weekend, sharing that brand new Audi. Starcom, one of the team principals there is Derek Cope, former winner, of course, of the Daytona 500 a few years ago now. Derek, he's loving it, and really, he's always enjoyed being around the IMSA paddock, and is super excited about this opportunity to come back with this car and with Andy driving this weekend. And Nick, like I say, he's got a lot of experience in all sorts of different cars. It's some Xfinity, some Craftsman Truck Series racing, and also a lot of sprint car racing as well. But this will be his first ever race on a road course, so he's got a steep learning curve going from a sprint car to a front wheel drive TCR Hyundai is quite a challenge for him.
So say good morning to Joe Nickel. Thank you, Joe, and hello to Stephen, just getting himself ready to come to the track and listening to this session. Let's head down to our Michelin Pilot Challenge BDO pit lane reporter, Nick Damon. Who have you got, Nick?
I'm with Aaron Tielitz, fresh out of the 88 Archangel Motorsports Aston Martin. Interestingly, when I'm kind of walking up and down the back of the pit lane, because I'm trying to work out where all the Pilot Challenge cars are, and when I last looked at the time, I think Aaron was either first or second. It's changed since then, but obviously we had a point earlier on today where four out of the top five were Aston Martin, so it's pretty obvious these new Astons are suiting this track.
Yeah, definitely. I will say, though, Sebring is always fastest in the morning when it's cool like this. So I don't want to say an irrelevant session, but the race happens in the afternoon. It's going to be much hotter tomorrow and this afternoon for qualifying. So you really want to see how the cars work when it gets hot out here at Sebring. But yeah, the Aston Martin seemed to have great pace here in this morning session. I think the Porsche was quick as well out there. But Archangel guys are doing a great job, and the car's a joy to drive right now, and Todd's out getting some laps.
You've kind of thrown up this point, but we've seen it. People following F1 have seen it as well over the past couple of weekends, where the first session or a session has been done in temperature conditions which are completely unrealistic to the race or qualifying. So what can you learn? And more importantly, what do you change from a car that's working beautifully in these temperatures to a car that worked beautifully for the two-hour race tomorrow?
Right. Well, I mean, the main things you can think about is when the air is cool, it's more dense, you're creating more downforce. You probably don't need as much wing this time of day. You're going to have to increase wing. A little bit more downforce is going to need to be created when it gets hotter later in the day. The track here normally gets greasier as well as the day wears on. The sun bakes on it. It gets slippery. You slide more on the top of the racetrack. So we're just going to be looking for any ways to add not only downforce but mechanical grip if we can for this afternoon's qualifying session.
And then for the race itself, do you run with those downforce levels? Because obviously that makes you a bit slower in a straight line, which is where the chance of the overtaking is, either the back straight or the front straight.
I'll just say you still want to be able to go fast through the corners here. You need to get runs off the corners. Doesn't necessarily matter if you're really fast at the end of the straight into 17. If you can't get off of turn 16, you're not going to have a chance anyway. So you try to keep as much grip as you can in it, more downforce even for the race.
Now, of course, one thing that Sebring is most famous for is the bumps. I mean, how different is the setup, ride height, suspension, subtlety, than perhaps the car which rolled off at Daytona for a big banking circuit?
Well, do you know what? On these GT4 cars, what's nice about them, makes it a little easier on the teams, is there's not a whole bunch of things you can change on them. You kind of have some set springs you have to change, and the dampers aren't maybe nearly as sophisticated as other cars. But you definitely change ride heights. You maybe change your cambers from Daytona where you're on the bank and you're trying not to wear tires out. You saw some teams have problems on the banking, blowing some tires. You can be a little bit more aggressive here. But those are the main changes. Otherwise, by and large, I think a lot of these GT4 cars probably stay pretty similar track to track, even though there's tons of bumps here.
And how much of a rough ride is it in a GT4 car? Obviously, they are more compliant than GT3s. They are a little bit more supple in the chassis. Is it still rattling your eyeballs out?
It's still a rough ride around here. Don't discount the fact that a GT4 car is maybe a little softer, suppler. You're still bouncing turn 17, turn 1. A lot of bumps out here in every car.
Finally, in two-hour race, it seems to me, and I'm not a pilot regular, but it seems to me it's a very limited amount you can work on strategy. So how fixed are you in what you're going to do? We're going to do X minutes with you and X minutes your teammate. I mean, is there any point in varying from that?
Oh, man, I mean, honestly, the green flag waves, and then you kind of like throw the strategy book out the window, it seems like, in GS, because you never know what might happen with cautions. That's what you're really waiting for, is you're kind of waiting to react to what happens when a yellow comes out 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, 30 minutes in. That's kind of what you base your strategy on. But for the most part, you'd like to be able to extend your first stint as long as possible to hope that you can maybe just do it on one stop if there's enough yellows. But otherwise, you're going to have to make two stops for sure at this race.
All right, thanks much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Nick Damon?
Yeah, that's right. Nick, it'll be one sort for TCRs. They can do a little bit more than an hour on a tank of fuel. The GS cars, they can do about 50 minutes or so, and we saw at Daytona for that four-hour race that ended up being with a fuel economy run towards the end, and really only one team was on full fuel save from the moment they left the pits after what they thought might be, and indeed was, their final pit stop. Pretty much everybody else had to make a stop for a splash of fuel towards the end, which meant that Kelly Moss with Riley Porsche, car number 91, was able to come through the pack, and it was kind of lurking outside the top 10 for most of the day, but came through to win the race. It was a very exciting finish.
And proof if proof were needed, Jeremy, of the fact that how much of a team game motor racing is, because the driver, absolutely, the driver had to do his bit at the end of the race because he had field numbers to hit, but somebody had to sit and work that out under extreme pressure, not necessarily knowing when that end stop was going to be and how much fuel they would get in and where they would come out and what the traffic would be, and then right, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. Right, well, make sure you get every last drop in, whoever's filling it, make sure you get the tyres on, those that have put the tyres on, and then the guys that just sit back and go, right, it's down to the driver now.
That's right.
It's great. I'd love it.
Yeah, and it was around about an hour to go, I think, and when it went green for what turned out to be the final time, and that number 91 car, that was really the only one in the field who was absolutely on full fuel save from that very instant. Most
Correct.
Of the others decided after a few laps, well, if this does go green, then we need to start saving fuel. And that
including
that
cars that pitted on the same lap, of the same type as that car. But by then, of course, it's no point getting 10 laps into the stint and thinking, it was that tight.
Yeah.
That's why we love
fascinating
it.
Fascinating race.
It was.
Fabulous
moment. You can go back and listen to it on imsaradio.com. You can go and pick it up off the official IMSA YouTube page as well, the whole 4 hours of the BMW Endurance Challenge at Daytona is there, and we'll be doing the same this weekend for the Alan J Automotive Network 120, just 2 hours, the clue's in the name there, and we'll be broadcasting that live for those of you outside of the US in sound and vision. Everybody can listen to the sound, of course, we never geo-block. It's the democracy of radio, free at the point of use here on IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. And just looking ahead a little bit to next weekend, those of you here at Sebring or listening in, we will have another endurance bonanza for you. I'll be at Mugello for the 24 hour series on Saturday and Sunday. Di Binks joining me in the pits there. And we'll have the first round of the new Nürburgring Endurance Series. First rounds, actually. Which will be on Sunday of next week. So a week on Sunday. Delighted to say that RSL's been chosen as the global broadcast partner for that new Endurance Series on the Nürburgring Nordschleife and the Grand Prix circuit as well. So that's not this weekend, but next weekend. So you don't have to worry that it's a few weeks before we go IMSA racing again. We've still got plenty going on for you to give you your endurance racing fix. But for right now, we've got just on 17 minutes to go in this session. Out on the track, 30 of the 40 cars. 9 in the pit lane. No, make that 31 and 8 now. And one car stop that we had early on. The number 55 has not made it back to pit lane as far as we're aware. Let's see if we can find out what happened to that. That was the Audi for Lalo, the elder of the two, the father, in fact, of the two Eduardos.
A couple of improvements here towards the top end of the charts as well. A couple of the Mercedes moving themselves up into the top six positions. Number 78, Thayer's competition entry. Josh Green has taken over that car during the session from Mark Miller. Josh Green making his sports car debut this weekend and, of course, in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. Last year, he started off in the Indy Next series. Been working his way up the feeder categories in open wheel racing. Started off in F1600 over here, went over to the UK as part of Team USA Scholarship a few years ago, and then has had some success in USF2000, then had some good runs in Indy Next as well, formerly Indy Lights, but now setting his sights on a career in sports car racing. He's been impressed. He's been impressing that team, and Mark Miller, who's going to be co-driving that number 78 car with this weekend. Right from the moment he first stepped into the car, he's only had one test day before this weekend, but that went well, and now he's up into fourth position. That's Josh Green, car number 78, 2 minutes 10.459. Also improved a couple of laps ago from the other Mercedes, the factory driver from whom we heard a little while ago, Daniel Morad, in the wind ward number 57, on the same tenth of a second as Josh, which shows you what a good job Josh Green is doing at the moment in that number 78 car.
Shea Adam is the other half of our BDO pit lane team, and she's checking in from the pit lane now. Good morning again, Shea.
Good morning again, John, and good morning to Chad McCombie. Chad, you know how to win here in a Ford Mustang. You've done it before, and Ford Mustangs have been really good at Sebring in the two-hour race. How good is this new car feel, though?
You know, the biggest thing about this new car is we have such a high ceiling with this thing. You know, we're just in the early stages of development with this, and
We've got a really good platform to work with that Ford Performance has allowed Multimatic Motorsports to put together for us. So, you know, we're just working through trying to understand exactly what we need in this thing. It's a little different than the previous car on some of its tendencies, but so far so good. Our MMR guys are continuing to get better week in, week out, and we know that this is the beginning of a uphill climb for us as a team to get to where we need to go, and hopefully we can turn some heads.
Where do you feel the biggest change around the track with the new car versus the old?
You know, it's a totally different platform. As much as it's the same car, it's different. So I think that, you know, with new homologation rules, you know, there's constantly specifications that change that you know, we have to adapt to as manufacturers or whatever. So, you know, the thing certainly does way better in areas that we struggled the last couple of years. I'll say that. But, you know, there's also some differences that we have to try to get our head wrapped around, you know, and maybe how we go about tuning things. So, again, you know, we've got a really good platform to work with now and exciting what the rest of the year holds.
It's good this morning in these cooler conditions. How easy is it to get lulled into a full sense of security when the race is going to be a lot hotter than this?
Well, I think that's where we need to do a lot of work right now as the tires go away and we kind of see exactly what kind of trends we were starting to see. I was starting to already feel some trends on where maybe it was going to go. And we weren't as good as we wanted to be yesterday. And what we learned from yesterday to today has obviously been a big, big jump. So hopefully we can just continue to do that.
Good luck this weekend, Chad.
Thank you.
That's Chad McCumbie of MMR Racing.
Yeah. And the other M, Stephen McAlay, in a different team. For this championship, and a team that is, he was absolutely clear with me when he talked to me on Midweek Motorsport earlier in the week, he'd be very disappointed if he doesn't win this championship. And that was a quick car yesterday. I thought it was an interesting point as well that was being made earlier on about the time of day we're at the moment, and who's quick now might not be necessarily who's quick in the race, but Trent Hindman, who is Stephen McAleer's teammate, is quickest at the moment, and the new best time to beat is a 2.09.7 with Archangel's Aston about a couple of tenths back. Todd Coleman in that car, the number 88 at the moment, then Spencer Pumpelly for BGB.
Yeah, he's just jumped up to third in that BGB Porsche.
And also Michael Di Cassada.
Yep.
Improving as well with a 2.10.354 for the 69 Motorsports in action Artura.
Right.
So that's good from there. There's a new fastest time in TCR as well, which is right on the bottom of my screen, which is Chris Miller for the Unitronics number 17 Audi RS4. And Nick Dearman has news of a damaged car in the pit lane.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're about as far away to the pit out as they can be from me. But the 64, that's the team TJM Aston Martin, trundled down the pit lane with damage to the front splitter and the right-hand side of the nose as well. So it seems like its nose lightly into something. Now, it could lightly nose into another car or more likely a barrier. But yeah, that's definitely got damage, and there's people looking around it. So that's I would think that'd be game over for them, but they won't fix that in 11 minutes. I doubt they even want to.
Shit, Adam is down that end of things.
And they are turning right and going back to the garage. But yeah, I did notice that there were some critical components on the front end of that car that were missing.
So not the start of the day they wanted. Just on 10 minutes to go.
Another couple of improvements the last few laps. Michael Di Cassada in the McLaren improved again a lap or so ago. He's up to fourth position now, 1 minute 10.354. So a couple of tenths behind Spencer Pumpelly, but you just talked about him. And also, Daniel Morad clearly wasn't happy with being bested by Josh Green, also who's also in a Mercedes. So Daniel found a little bit more time, number 57, the windward Mercedes AMG GT4, to move up into sixth place just ahead of Josh Green. Almost identical times. 2 minutes 10.431 for Morad. He's just brought that car into the pits, and Bryce Ward is now on his outlap. Josh Green and 1 minute 10.459, but ahead of both of those now goes the other Mercedes. That's Mackay Stevens for JMF Motorsports. That's a tremendous effort from Stevens in column 34. Minute 10.154. I tell you what, Mackay Stevens, he is a talent.
He really is, and he's worked very, very hard indeed to get himself behind the wheel of a car again.
Brand new team for this season, JMF Motorsports. Mackay has been sharing this car with Jesse Webb last year in SRO, but making a step up into IMSA this season. But it's a brand new operation. Last year, that JMF team was run by Eric Bachelard at Conquest. Now it's a brand new team. Richard Rader has remained with the team. He's sort of managing the whole operation. But it's a really strong group to put together there by Danny Cook and by Melanie Patterson.
Van der Steur Racing's Aston, after being driven by, I think, both of its drivers earlier on. Certainly, I saw Valentin Asclose's name next to it. It's been sitting in the... Well, no, it hasn't, actually. It's just gone back out. Worth having a wander down there to one of our BDO pit lane crew. So that car sat stationary for quite a wee while. It's a good five or six laps down minimum on everybody else. So maybe just getting a little bit of tweaking. But Rory Van der Steur has just gone back out in that car, currently sitting 15th in GS. Good morning as well, those of you listening on 100.9. Nice to have your company. And Richard P and Lachlan are tuned in. She'll be happy to know that. Canadian breakfast being cooked at the moment by Lachlan. But he's got his headset on, so he's tuned in to 100.9. Morning, Lachlan. Morning, Richard. Hello to all of you here listening on 100.9 around the circuit, around the world on RS2 as well, of course. All free at the point of use, the democracy of radio. All of our audio running without any blocks as usual for another season here in IMSA. And we're down to the last 7.5 minutes with, again, roundabouts. Three quarters of the field out, 32 of the 40 cars out, one car stopped, that Audi 7 in the pits. 7 minutes to go.
Yes, interesting. Unusually in this session, we've seen a lot of improvements later on in terms of lap times, but I think that's people putting on fresh tyres. Yesterday, and doing qualifying sims, I would think, for some of the teams, even though the conditions are quite different now. There's a lot of drivers out there who don't have a lot of experience in this series, so getting that qualifying sim in for this in preparation for this afternoon. So track conditions are going to be very, very different. Further that from a couple of different drivers already this morning, but still, it's a good plan to go out there and try and lay down a lap, and that's what Mackay Stevens did in number 34 JMF Mercedes.
And by the way, Tim Gray has, from a distance up in London, slapped my wrist. The new NES series starts a week on Saturday, not a week on Sunday. Multiple races on Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday coming in that new NES from the Grand Prix circuit, actually, is where they're going to be racing on their first race weekend, and we'll have that for you over on RS3. Nick Damon has caught up with a very fast McLaren Artura driver, that being Jesse Lazare, who was successful twice over last weekend in the VP Racing Sports Car Challenge. He's back in the same car this week, and that car's quick again, Nick.
Yeah, the Artura looking particularly good. Jesse, you're ploughing a lone furrow with McLaren, but it still seems very quick.
Yeah, I know this track is really suiting a lot with the technical. Unlike Daytona, there's long straights. We're better on the tricky stuff. So I'm confident we're going to have a good race car here.
And you're off the back of a couple of wins as well last weekend.
Yeah, I know. That was a fun weekend. Great track, great event. And, yeah, we're coming in strong definitely after last weekend.
Is there anything you learnt there that you could apply to Sebring? Obviously, St. Pete and Sebring, both quite bumpy, but beyond that, not very similar.
Yeah, no, not really. You kind of have to throw out what we learned with the car over there and kind of start fresh here. But at least, you know, I'm warmed up. I'm ready to go.
Now, what is the plan for qualifying and the race? Are you the person to qualify and will you be the person to start the race? Or have you not got that far yet?
No, as of now, I'm qualifying and I'm going to be starting the race as well. And Michael is going to bring it home.
And given the fact, obviously, qualifying and the race are in much different temperatures, how much what you've learned this morning is of any use?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like everyone's going to get a big learning curve in the race because it's going to be really the first session with really hot temps, and we're going to be driving for a long time. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting how all the different manufacturers react, but I'm pretty confident we're going to be okay.
And those extra temperatures, obviously it's going to reduce the amount of downforce, so the air gets thinner and a bit less power as well, but is it also going to increase tyre wear dramatically? Would that be an issue with tyres?
Yeah, no, absolutely, especially on this track with the older asphalt and paved bin and the different types of asphalt. When it gets hot here, it gets really greasy. And yeah, like we said, we didn't have time to test for it, so it's going to be, hopefully we adapt well in the race.
Jesse, thanks.
With what was the fastest guy when he got out of the car at the time, Mackay Stevens. Mackay, we were singing your praises upstairs about how you belong in this championship. How does it feel to be a full-season Michelin pilot driver, finally?
Absolutely incredible. There are so many people to thank, certainly starting on behalf of Mr. Farrow himself, as a product of fostering this opportunity for myself, Jesse, and those to come. To be able to have been a Team USA scholarship in years past, to know Mr. Jeremy upstairs, it's just a tremendous pleasure and something that, you know, I hope to represent well moving forward.
This team is new to the championship, but not new to racing in general. And Jesse is not new to racing, but he is kind of new to racing. What's it been like to work with him and bring him over to some of these iconic tracks?
Absolutely incredible to watch his rate of progression. The young man has it, and I don't need to be the one expressing that. Everybody can see it. So it's a tremendous privilege to work with him, especially due to our age difference. You know, myself on the higher side of the spectrum and him and the lower, but he makes sure that I'm having fun, and I try to make sure he's keeping it serious.
What will you guys be happy with leaving Sebring this weekend?
If we can better our performance just a little bit from last year at Daytona within the top 10, it'd be nice to represent within the top 5, and certainly always vying for a podium and never shy of wanting that number one spot. We just know we got some growing pains to go through, and we certainly hope to be able to continue that progression throughout the year.
Is a win capable by the end of the year?
You never know what the racing gods might provide you. Hopefully one, maybe two. We'll see.
Good luck this year.
Thank you.
Yeah, really good perspective there, and it's hard to believe Mackay. He's 32 now, but this opportunity came up for him 3 years ago from John Farrow, who was looking to bring on some young drivers, and particularly young Canadian drivers. But Mackay has been such a strong part of this organization from the beginning. He's a really good mentor. He's become an accomplished driver coach as well, despite the fact he hasn't done much racing over the last 6 or 7 years up until 2 or 3 years ago. He was out on sport for quite a long time, but he and Jesse Webb, who's just 19 years of age, he'll have his 20th birthday in about a week's time with Jesse Webb, actually, but he's really come on so quickly in this car. He started karting back in 2017, drove in the Nissan Sentra series a couple of years ago in Canada, and then was given the opportunity by John Farrow, who's not only running this car, he is also running cars in SRO. He's got a Toyota GR86 that he's running. I was talking to him yesterday. He's also got a six-kart program. You're really out there. All he wants to do is help these youngsters and progress them up the ladder. And Jesse Webb is at the wheel of that car at the moment. He's just turned a 10.9 on tyres that Mackay probably took the best out of a couple of laps ago. So, yeah, a really talented young man is Jesse Webb. And that team, it's beautifully presented, and they're showing good pace. The car led the race at Daytona, first time out of the box. Very, very impressive. Other improvements there. Spencer Papelli improved a little lap or two ago. Third position in that BGB number 38 Porsche. A brand new chassis, Spencer was telling us, for this weekend. That BGB team, that's another team that's been strong and plans to be strong this season. So it's a Porsche at the front. That's Trent Hindman and Stephen McAleer for RS1. Number 28, 2 minutes 9.783. That's about half a second underneath the lap record here. So the checkered flag comes out to end this second free practice session for the Michelin Pilot Challenge.
And while people end their lap, let's have a word with the birthday boy, Steve Ike, who's with Cher.
Yeah, I just said happy birthday to him. Big smile on the face. Steve, you got to earn the cake. But this team, Hart Racing, a long time ago, they were kind of known for getting poles. Do you have to get a pole in order to get your birthday cake later?
I hope not, but I will try my best. We'll see what they say later.
The car did really well yesterday in the heat of the day. Are you expecting it to be able to replicate that again today for qualifying and tomorrow for the race?
That's what we're kind of working on today, is trying to make sure that the setup is good under all conditions, with fresh tires, with worn tires, hot track, cold track. So we're trying to find that balance.
Does it help that everyone on this team has the engineering mind to be able to stay calm and know that in the cooler morning conditions, that's not really relevant?
Sometimes maybe it doesn't. There's too many opinions. But, yeah, no, it's great for everyone here to have that same mindset and the same thinking and bounce ideas off each other. So we like to do that every day.
You qualifying or Chad?
I'll be qualifying.
Good luck later, and, hey, happy birthday.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, good run yesterday as well from those guys as she intimated. Checkered flag out.
Birthday yesterday also for Robbie Wickens in the number 33 Hyundai, defending series champion. Had a great season last year, but they didn't get a victory, which was really frustrating for both he and Harry Gottsacker.
He told us he trades it for the championship.
Sure.
What, you can have one win or you can have no wins and have the championship. Championship. Thanks.
Yeah.
It took him about a peak or
something. But he wants to get himself back in that win con desperately again.
Oh, I'm
sure. He did a couple of years ago, but he's ticked both boxes now. Got a win a couple of years ago and got the championship last year. So back for more this year. That's Robbie Wickens in car number 33. In this session, second fastest. He and Harry Gottsacker in the TCR class, car number 33, behind number 17 of Chris Miller and Mikey Taylor. That's the Audi for JDC Miller Motorsports.
Yeah, then it's a 33, 95 and 99 Hyundai Elantras ahead of the number 5 Alpha, and the top 6 is the Preston Brown driven 78 Hyundai. So Hyundai's to the 4 there.
You like the symmetry of the layout?
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Good.
Very
good.
Happy. Top 26 cars are all the GS cars, and then the TCRs follow along. And at the top of GS is RS1 with Trent Hindman and Stephen McAleer. 209.786. That is the fastest time we've seen this week
ever.
So far. And indeed ever, as Jeremy rightly says. As far as the WeatherTech, as the Michelin Pilot Challenge is concerned, whether that will be replicated in the hotter conditions later on today when we qualify remains to be seen. Archangel's Aston, the number 88 car in second, the Porsche from BGB in third, Mercedes from JMF in fourth, Jesse Webb behind the wheel of that at the end, Michael Di Casada, McLaren, that's the Motorsport in Action car that he shares with Jesse Lazare in fifth, and the top sixth made up by Chad McCombie in their Ford Mustang. So Ford, McLaren, Mercedes, Porsche and Aston Martin in the top six. Five different manufacturers in the top six. That's a great way to kick off the Thursday Thunder here at the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring. 72nd running of the great race. Thanks for being with us so far. Don't go too far away, because we've got more action coming up, and it's all live here on 100.9 FM and around the world on RS2.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.